Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Top 4 to out of the 8 in the blink of an eye. Hasn't been a pretty couple of weeks for the Bombers, and their chances of breaking that now 20-year finals win drought keeps getting slimmer. Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belairs, and I'll be joined by resident red and black tragic Max Steenkamp to discuss a strange phenomenon on the Bombers list. But first, we've had the race for Reed and a few years ago the Cruiser Cup, but this weekend we'll witness 2024's schlockbuster between North and Richmond. Who'll come out on top and why does it matter? Chris Kavanagh joins me to chat about it. Here's Cav. And here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, I'm joined by Chris Kavanagh. Cav, welcome.
G'day, Andy.
So, you know, in the past, we've had the Cruiser Cup. We've had all sorts of different battles for Wooden Spoon for the number one pick. And we have one on the weekend.
Yes, North Melbourne versus Richmond, Saturday afternoon at Marvel Stadium. I think I wrote about 6 weeks ago that I reckon that, you know, circle this game in, it's going to be the Wooden Spoon decider, and that looks like being the case. As we know, the Tigers and Roos have both only won 2 games for the year, separated on the ladder by 1.4 percentage points at the moment. So very tight. My money would be on the Roos to win this one. I know they haven't been able to put together 4 quarters in recent weeks, but they're still playing some decent footy in patches and better than the Tigers, I think. I mean, the season can't come to an end quickly enough for Richmond, can it? They should get Dustin Martin back this week, Toby Nankervis as well. But they'll both be underdone. Dusty's missed the past 4 games now. He's played 2 in 8 weeks, so we can't really expect a match-winning version of him. And if the Tigers do lose, it would be their first Wooden Spoon since 2007. So back then,
yeah, right.
Terry Wallace was still coach. Matthew Richardson was best and fairest winner that year. Of course, Carlton ended up with the priority pick that year. And as you say, Matthew Cruiser went to the Blues and Richmond got Trent Cotchin, who became a 3-time premiership captain. So they didn't do too badly out of that. But I guess the question is, if Richmond do finish bottom, who do they pick at number one? Talking to a few rival recruiters in recent days, I think there's still a bit of a question mark on that. But Jagger Smith had 27 disposals for Richmond's VFL team on the weekend in another strong performance. That was his second game for the Tigers. So I wouldn't rule him out of the equation there. But the feeling seems to be still that Josh Smiley or Sam Laylor might come into calculations for that selection if the Tigers do end up with it. So very interesting Saturday afternoon ahead, even though the game might not be the best one of the weekend.
Absolutely. And for North, I mean, even if they do win, well, we know that last year when they lost, they beat West Coast, consigned West Coast to 18th, they got Harley Reid, who was the absolute number one presumptive, you know, with daylight second, seemingly. But it seems that it's less of a there's more of a toss-up now. So North, even if they do beat Richmond, they won't be too dissatisfied with getting whoever they get at pick 2.
No, absolutely. I mean, Harley was absolute clear standout. Mm. He was one of the top players we've seen come
and
through the programs.
And has shown this year.
So, you know, he'd be winning the Rising Star if he was eligible. But but yeah, this year there's certainly, you know, 5 or 6 players in that top bracket in the eyes of many recruiters that could go anywhere in that 5 or 6. So not so much incentive to lose this weekend.
But at the other end of the ladder, you know, other than Sydney, who are seemingly, you know, stumbling at the moment, they're still a game and a half clear on a top of the ladder. It's a real logjam between, you know, second and 12th, say.
Yeah.
And there's some really good games coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And, I mean, 5 of the top 8 at the moment are interstate clubs, which is quite interesting. So it'd be And a lot of those
game, Cav, they're all interstate clubs.
Well, we're on the Herald Sun podcast here, so we can be a bit patriotic for Victoria. But no, I think there's three big games this weekend that will shape the eight. The first one's the Bulldogs and your mob Melbourne on Friday night. So the Dogs are arguably the form team of the competition at the moment. So they're on a three-game winning streak. They've beaten Sydney, Geelong and Carlton in successive weeks. So it doesn't get much better than that. You can't forget that these two teams did meet in round one, and the Demons actually got the points there. They won by 45 points back
there,
in round one,
and it was a very comfortable win for Melbourne.
It was, yeah, but I guess a lot's changed since then. Clayton Oliver was best on ground that day. He's not in form at the moment. Max Gorn was very good. Christian Petrarca was very good in that game. So there's a few things that have changed since then, and the Demons have actually lost their past five games against current top eight sides. Wow. And have only gone 3-5 since round 13. So not going so well. I think the Dogs will get the win there at Marvel Stadium. Mm. Second big game, Collingwood Carlton on Saturday night. I think the build up to this will all be about Scott Pendlebury's 400th game, and rightly so. But this is a huge game for both sides. The Blues looked like a top four lock, you know, a month ago probably, and now they've lost three of their last four. So
stumbling.
Yeah,
and Collingwood are stumbling in themselves. I mean, they had
they haven't really got
Richmond,
going, have they? Yeah, they had a win against Richmond, which just kept them in the finals hunt. But if they lose this, they're basically out, aren't they? So these two teams again met in round nine, and Collingwood won by 6 points. So who knows there? Can the Pies get up for Pendlebury?
They kind of, and they need to, don't they, to keep their finals chances alive. If they were to lose to Carlton, and particularly if they were to lose by a relatively strong margin, their percentage is poor.
That doesn't help them.
And it really would start to, you know, make their chances even more slim.
Yeah, exactly. That unravels a lot for them then. If they win, they're still right in it. And sure, the Blues are on the edge of the top eight if they lose. So that's going to be a huge game. Really excited for that. And then the third game that I reckon this weekend is pivotal is the GWS Hawthorn match in Canberra on Sunday. So the Hawks were a ninth on the ladder at the moment, but they're really coming with a bullet. They've won eight of their last nine games. If they win this, they play Carlton, Richmond and North Melbourne in the final 3 weeks.
And their percentage is growing because
their percentage is getting better by
good margins. So, they are looking – if they can beat GWS, you'd be penciling them in for a top eight spot.
Yeah, and the way Carlton's going at the moment, and then they'll beat Richmond and North Melbourne in the final 2 weeks, you would have thought. So, massive game for them. But equally, the Giants need to keep winning to get that top four chance as well. So some massive games coming up this weekend. There's been some quiet games the last – in recent weeks, but – I think, it's starting to really ramp up with finals just around the corner now.
And it is great that there's so many teams still in the hunt, because it just makes footy continue to be interesting. It could have some years the eight set, and you know there's three or four games every weekend that are inconsequential. But geez, it's great that there's you know, I wish my team was further up the ladder.
Oh,
but
so don't we all, Andy?
But it's good that you know, footy is exciting most games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, August is here, so it's a home stretch now.
Oh my gosh, yeah, 2 months to go. Thanks, Cav, as always.
No worries.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Roe Webster, former Australian water polo player and three-time Olympian. The countdown to the Paris 2024 Olympics is on. Come with me behind the scenes as we meet Australia's greatest athletes, some of whom are preparing to bring their Olympic dreams to life in Paris, and some who've done it all before.
I find myself searching for someone to tell me I can't do something, because I will show them that I can.
What it would take for me to find focus, what it would take for me to be aggressive.
Search En Route to Paris, that's on with an E, in your favourite podcast app, and make sure you follow the podcast so you don't miss a single thing.
And here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, well, I'd be disingenuous if I were to cry any real tears for the Essendon Football Club, but there are supporters out there of the Bombers who are feeling pretty down at the moment after the past 3 weeks. Max Steenkamp is one of them. He's one of my colleagues here at the Herald Sun.
Max, I am sorry because we are friends and your Bombers are just falling apart at the wrong time of the year.
There are dozens of us, Andy, dozens of us who are just like as somebody who like consumes football media as a job and watches football as a job, I haven't watched Essendon the last 2 weeks. I haven't watched a minute of live Essendon and don't particularly want to. I, instead of like organized to help a friend move house in the rain on Saturday at the time Essendon's game was on, deliberately to avoid watching us capitulate against St Kilda. And that's, I'm not an expert. I'm not a marketing guy. That's probably not a good sign for your football club.
No. No, when you don't even want, when you have lost all hope, and when 4 weeks ago your team was in the top four, that's pretty sad. But you've come armed with some stats because, and they're relatively damning stats of the,
they're not good,
the Bombers. And it's around first round draft picks. Everyone, you think about, when you think about a team stacked with first round draft picks, you think GWS, you think the Gold Coast, you think Melbourne, who were poor, you know, 10 years ago, or North, who are at that stage this year. At the moment, but it's the Bombers who are absolutely, I mean, yeah, just take it away because this is incredible.
A wealth of draft talent. I like have a brief think, listener, about how many first round picks you'd think Essendon have on their list that they've drafted and that they've bought in. If the answer was 20, well done. You got it smack bang on. That's because crazy. They have a best 18 and change of first round draft picks on their list. Now, obviously they haven't drafted all of these, as you've mentioned, players like Peter Wright and, you know, Jai Caldwell, Will Setterfield have all been bought into the club. And there was that brief stretch where to get those players in, they traded away most of their first round draft picks. But you know, even the ones they do have, you know, the last couple of years, a lot of high profile ones. And it's just astonishing that a team with that much draft choice and draft capital that's not going through a rebuild, that's not only just got all of them in, is just kind of not getting anywhere near it on the field. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation about whether or not that's a coaching problem or if that's the players not buying in or an effort problem or a system problem or a skills problem. But it just shouldn't happen, really.
Yeah, and when you look at that, look down that list of 20, there isn't really one who is an out-and-out, you know, I mean, not every team can have a Marcus Bontempelli, but there's not really one in that list who is an out-and-out star.
No, ironically, the one that's closest to Marcus Bontempelli, Zach Merritt, was a second-round pick anyway.
Exactly.
So he was kind of a diamond in the rough of sorts through that draft year. You know, you look at, say, your Darcy Parishes and a few others that just haven't quite, you know, feel like they should be more, even though Parrish can be a sensational footballer on his day, often goes missing, this year's been injured. And some of the fresher guys they've brought in have also, you know, failed to hit the mark in the same way that a lot of early draft picks in the last few years have.
And the ones that they've brought in from other clubs as well, you know, you look at, I mean, last year it was Gresham. He hasn't really hit the mark. Previous years it's been Sam Wiedemann, who obviously has been a fail for the Bombers. Peter Wright won a Crichton medal but hasn't really reached those heights again. I mean, the list is long, as we've said.
It is. You look at even like a Jake Stringer is on his day fantastic, but, you know, last couple of weeks has gone missing. And, you know, the joke among Bombers fans is that once Jake Stringer signs the contract, he becomes an ineffectual player. And, you know, I'm wondering if he's signed one in secret a couple of weeks ago and just hasn't told anyone yet.
Yeah.
But even like Ben Mackay is a first-round draft pick way back when. It's not so much that, you know, you've bought in first-round draft picks and, you know, often you recycle them and you look at, you know, examples like even a Josh Shackey is, you know, someone you bought in as a D's fan, low budget, low expectation, you're not bringing in for too much, but Ben Mackay is on $1.4 million this year.
Yeah.
And, that stings a little bit more when he's, you know, you put so much stock in him and he hasn't delivered quite to the extent that you'd hope.
Yeah, it's an interesting contrast, isn't it? Because there are clubs that bring in first-round draft picks. And you mentioned before, Aaron Francis is one who was taken by the Bombers as a first rounder, didn't quite work out, went to Sydney for low capital, still on the list, probably hasn't worked out at the Swans either, but, you know, and with Melbourne, with a Josh Shackey or with a Jack Billings who was brought in for low capital, low money. So he's there, but is he exactly that sort of first round pick outlay that a club needs to make? No, he's not.
No. And I think Paddy Dow is the perfect example of recycling, you know, one man's trash and another man's treasure on that front.
But certainly.
I'm wondering how many cases Essendon will have that in a couple of years where there have been rumours that Elijah Sardis is looking for a new home after playing a few games as the sub, pick five in 2022. A lot of conjecture around that. Matheus Philippou, who was thrown up as that's, you know, that sort of player, as a more dynamic player when Essendon already had a lot of midfielders and they'd kind of went back to the well of inside midfielders and then haven't found a spot for him and might lose him for very little. The 2020 draft as well, awful year to load up on draft picks in the first round.
Yeah, sure.
Which, you know, obviously that makes life very difficult, but you look at Nick Cox, still very unsure as to what to make of him. You look at Archie Perkins, who feels like he's slid backwards a bit this year, more than, you know, in a year when people thought he'd take that next leap and possibly break out, and Zach Reid perpetually injured. So it's hard to judge some of them, but it's still, you know, when you look at it, half the list is off the first round of a draft, and that's incredible.
It is. I mean, the silver lining for, say, next year, and of course we have to preface it with the Bombers can still make the finals. They may not, but they still can. They're still in the eight as we speak,
slipped
out of the eight.
How soon can we introduce wildcard weekend, asking for a me and follow-up question, do they count as finals wins?
No, you'll still – I think Essendon is bound to, what, take it into – this is the 20th year, I think. Did Essendon beat Melbourne in a final, elimination final in 04? So this is 20 years since a finals win.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast A Life in Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life and Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
But we were talking 2 months ago, even we were talking about how other teams can replicate Essendon's trade haul, draft point haul from last year. You know, people were talking Adrian Dodoro and the Essendon Football Club as geniuses for what they were able to do with bringing in Gresham and
Mackay and Goldstein.
Exactly.
Yep.
But so next year, who knows? I think you say, to Essendon supporters, you need to say that at this time in most recent years. But yeah, that it'll be interesting to see how other teams stack up and whether Essendon at 20 has the most. Because you'd think that if not, then they'd have to be right up the top.
They would have to be, yeah. I haven't run the numbers yet. Look out for the full numbers later on in the week. But yeah, North Melbourne might be close, as you mentioned, Gold Coast and GWS, but it's hard to think of too many other clubs that, even though the first round does go for 37 picks, it seems like each year,
yeah,
it's still quite astounding.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, we'll keep an eye out for all 18 clubs, but the Bombers. I'm sorry, Max. Thanks for your time.
No, thank you, Andy.
That'll do us on today's Herald Sun Footy podcast. I'm Andy Belez, and my thanks to Chris Kavanagh and Max Steenkamp for joining me today. Make sure you keep an eye out for all the Scott Pendlebury 400th game coverage through the week, Trade Buzz from a huge money ball on Wednesday morning, Mick McGuan on Thursday, all the game coverage over the weekend, and then, as always, Robbo's can't miss tackle on Sunday night. I'll catch you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.